Oh, Chris Sale. Come on. Disappointing. Very disappointing. On the DL. Arm injury. Hopefully not that bad. Welcome to the show, Adam Azer, Scott White, now Melchior.
People have been calling this one for, what, like 3 years?
Yeah, I know, right? We got an email. I think it might have been on the video show last week. I was like, when is Chris Sale's arm going to fall off? So anyway, let's start with that. Then we're going to get into a lot. We'll recap Monday's big stories. We got the Ike Davis Grand Slam. We got some good player comparisons. We'll talk about some slow starters, great pitching performances. Of course, watch Fantasy Baseball Today, the video show. I've got some almonds stuck in my throat. I like almonds.
I love
they
almonds.
They get kind of stuck in the throat
a
little
bit. They get
bit, right?
stuck in the throat. If we're going on video, they can get stuck in the teeth.
The teeth, oh, forget it.
Yeah.
It's a killer.
It's a high maintenance snack for sure.
I've had issues with the peanuts getting stuck in my throat.
Same thing. Almonds are better than
never
peanuts.
Never noticed it with almonds. Oh, almonds are so much better. Almonds are my favorite nut.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Can you believe that?
Right, you know, we must have had this discussion. Maybe it was with Nando instead, because I remember being on Almond Island. Like, I was the only one who was ranking almond number one.
It's a new thing for me. So
almonds are number one.
I'm late to the party. Now
I like cashews, too.
How worried are you guys about Sale? The White Sox are downplaying it, saying it's not serious. Andre Rienzo likely going to start tonight, and also Felipe Paulino's on the DL for them, so they got a little bit of a mess there. How worried are you about Sale, though?
So it's a flexor strain in his elbow.
No ligament damage.
Right, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's the same injury Matt Latos has, right?
Oh, that's a good question.
And the Reds are downplaying that injury also, and which we're...
he was supposed to be back by now.
Well, until he was diagnosed with that specifically, and then I think they said he was going to start throwing again in 10 to 14 days. I think that was less than 10 to 14 days ago.
Yeah, it was like a week
April
ago.
April 13th.
Yeah.
So, 8 days ago.
We're getting 8-9 days ago. And yeah, it was a flexor strain.
So, I mean, we might have a little glimpse into what Sale's rehabilitation is going to go like, depending on how Latos goes. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried. I'm worried about Latos also. But what are you going to do is the question I have. I mean, you pretty much just have to hold on to him and hope for the best, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could be aggressive and try to make a trade. But I think bottom line is we'd be surprised if this is a 15-day stint, right?
I would definitely be surprised by that.
I don't want to say he's out for the year or anything like that. I don't think people should overreact and assume he's going to get Tommy John.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if he was out for the year. But it's... Yeah, I don't suspect it's going to be just a couple starts.
And he's had some early season arm things in the past, as ESPN Chicago pointed out. They moved him to the bullpen one time. I think they skipped a start or something like that, maybe last year. So he's had some issues, and he's been fine. There's been times where it's like, oh, we're worried about, not us, but people have been worried about Chris Sale. Maybe us, just saying.
Yeah.
In general, and he's turned out to be just fine. So hopefully it's not too long.
Didn't Ventura compare this to previous things? I don't know if we're assuming it wasn't because he ended up on the DL with a named injury.
I don't know.
But I almost don't feel like we know enough to incite panic, you know? Like,
yep. All right, then, Al, do you like... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's fair. And, I think already I've kind of bought into all of the worry about Sale getting hurt eventually. So it's like, see. But yeah, no, we don't know very much.
Do you like Andre Rienzo?
No, not really.
Do they have any other replacements? Because they're going to need two guys now.
That's right, well, yeah. And they don't have a day off for a while. So it's not like, they're just going to be able to go to a four-man with Rienzo. So
they said Leisman they were calling up. Is it Charles Leisman?
Yes.
Does that sound right?
Yes.
And I looked at his minor league numbers, wasn't very impressed. I don't know much about him beyond that. But if he's their second choice to Rienzo, then it's not a great thing.
Yeah, no, so they don't have much pitching depth, so it's a problem.
Well, let's get to it. Here we go. The show begins with stat of the day number one. We're going to do some Approve the Move later, too. Looking forward to that. And plenty of emails. Ike Davis became the first player to hit a grand slam with two different teams in April ever. That's never happened before. And he's the third player to hit a grand slam against the same opponent with two different teams in the same season. Third player ever. That's according to stats. And the other two were Ray Boone in 53 and Mike Piazza in
1998.
Ah, that's some good company there.
Yeah, so how about Ike Davis? Don't want to make too much of it, but good start with the Pirates.
My head is just spinning, though, with all these coincidences.
Why?
I mean, those are kind of crazy stats.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Could even be crazy stat of the day, number
one. He broke his bat and he hit a home run. Grand slam.
Yeah, and he's the first one to do that with two different teams in the same week.
Did the fragment of the bat that broke off also clear the fence?
I don't think so.
Because that should have counted twice.
That would have counted twice.
And Mike Piazza's on this list, and he knows all about broken bats.
He does.
Yeah, he does. He's had some hurled his way.
Do we have anything to say about Ike Davis other than a little
no,
fun
I
notes?
Mean, look, I don't know. I kind of get the sense I'm higher on him than most. I kind of had him as a sleeper coming into the season perpetually because I like how much he walks. And I think you can make excuses for what's gone wrong with him the past couple years. But the bottom line is if he's not playing against lefties, I don't think he's going to do much for you. And I see no evidence of him playing against lefties yet.
Stat of the day number two, Matt Carpenter has one extra base hit so far this season. His slugging percentage is .310. Al, that extra base hit was a home run. Are you concerned about Matt Carpenter?
Well, he sets a home run. It's not a double.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so. Zero doubles. Led the league in doubles last year.
I know. That's really, really bizarre. I'm not particularly worried. I expected some regression from Carpenter, not wholesale. The doubles will be back.
Tweet of the day, number one, comes from Scott Wixon. He says, I will pay for $7.26.
What he had in his pocket.
For you to never mention when to start stashing Derek Holland. I guess he doesn't want his league mates to hear.
Yeah.
Hashtag just kidding. Hashtag please bring this up. When would you start stashing Derek Holland?
I would. I mean, it depends if you have a DL spot or now. If you don't have a DL spot, I'm still...
Yeah, I haven't
long time away from that.
I haven't made the move. It's not. I mean, I know he's out there, obviously, but not been on my radar. So maybe like in a month.
This is a little trick if you do have a DL spot, because there's no reason to not fill it if you have it, right?
Yep, that's why I picked up Joe Kelly.
I have Chad Billingsley in a lot of leagues. I have Derek Holland in a lot of leagues. You go to the roster trends page and you. I think it defaults, it's on the free agents view. You're looking at your league's free agents, and you change one of the tabs to injured, and it shows all the guys on the DL who are free agents, and you just pick up the best ones to fill those empty spots. I think the best two, I mean, Billingsley and Holland are among the best. It depends how deep your league is, some others who might be out there. But I recommend doing that. I've done it in all my leagues.
Yeah, even if you end up dropping them later, give yourself an option.
So with Holland specifically, you're stashing him.
He was one of the better DL players in my leagues, yeah.
Okay.
And look, I mean, if he didn't get injured, he would have been drafted, what, 10th round maybe? Would have been pretty high.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, player comparison of the day, number one, comes from our boy Drew Brody in the podcast Rejects League. Player A, 3 runs, 7 RBI, 1 home run, no steals, and a .206 batting average. Player B, 3 runs, 7 RBI, 1 home run, same as player A, 1 steal, and a .275 batting average instead of .206. Player A is the number 2 overall pick in drafts and double defending AL MVP Miguel Cabrera. Player B is podcast favorite John Jay, currently owned in 7% of leagues, who was one of the 122 players who are currently as good or better than Miguel Cabrera in all 5 standard roto categories.
That's it. I'm trading Miguel Cabrera for John Jay right now. You can't stop me.
To put this in further perspective, here's a trivia question for Al, Scott, and Herc, whoever's in today. How many Houston Astros are outperforming Miguel Cabrera according to the current in-season player ranks on CBS?
Ooh.
I guess he means points leagues?
Could be roto. I think it's probably roto.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he did reference categories, so yeah.
Oh, there we go.
How many are outperforming Miguel Cabrera? Astros.
I'll say 6.
Okay, so...
Which is really something, because almost nobody on that team is hitting .200.
Don't overthink
it.
Yeah,
all right. 6 sounded good.
8 is the answer.
That's impossible.
Altuve, Villar, Dominguez, Fowler, Castro, Presley, Guzman, Kraus. All right, any concerns? Actually, Dane Perry wrote an interesting article about Miguel Cabrera. It's on the website right now. He's hitting a lot of ground balls. And if you go back to last season after the injury took place, include the postseason and the beginning of the this year, it's like 200 plate appearances with pretty measly production for Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah. The ground balls are up, but not dramatically. He's got about a 50% rate right now, where he's typically in the mid-40s. The thing that really stood out to me was he's just taking tons of pitches. He's not swinging very much.
Oh, and he also said that pitchers are throwing more strikes.
Yes, the highest strikes in the zone rate for him in his career.
Yeah, he said since 2006 or whatever, but sure, okay. In his career, could be true.
Well,
also.
No, because you know what? I did look at two different sources, and because I don't know, I'm not sure why there's a discrepancy on that, but according to the Pitch FX data on Fangraphs, it's the highest of his career.
Either way,
yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. I believe Miguel Cabrera is going to get crazy hot and be the best player. One of the best players in baseball.
I think you're smart to believe that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and the encouraging thing is that even though he, like I said, he's taking strikes at a rate that's way above what he normally does, he has done that for like month long periods previously, and they've been periods, some of them where he's actually hit really well.
Okay.
So it may not correspond with anything, and even if it does, it will end.
All right. Player comparison of the day number two is from Mark in Virginia. One player is getting all kinds of love, and one is getting some attention.
Some.
Player A, all right, they each have 14 runs, 5 home runs, 12 RBI, and 2 steals. They have almost the same exact batting average, .313 for player A, .315 for player B, and they have almost the same exact OPS, .984 to .975. Player A is Carlos Gomez, and player B is Justin Upton. I feel like Upton, this is from Mark, I feel like Upton is not being placed in the same comparisons with Gomez. Adam, would you trade Braun straight up for Upton because you were feeling that love for Gomez yesterday? And no, I wouldn't. Because if we
you
take
want it?
For Upton, I was offered they're, that yesterday, and no, I wouldn't.
They're right next to each other in my rankings, Adam.
They're not right next
they're
to each
12
other
and
in my
13.
Rankings. So who's ahead, Braun or Gomez?
You don't keep rankings.
But in my mind, they're
in
not.
In your mind, your mental rankings. I have Gomez one spot ahead of Upton.
You know, in a roto league where you don't care about week to week so much, I just leave Justin Upton in my lineup, let him do his thing, and at the end of the year, he's Justin Upton. I might do that trade. But in a weekly head-to-head league, I don't want to do that trade because Upton is so cold. If you take this survey again in a week, player A might be much better than player B because Upton – did I say Upton so cold? I meant Upton so streaky. Upton gets cold. He gets super hot, too. But I like the consistency of Carlos Gomez. And no, I am not going to trade Ryan Braun for Justin Upton.
Is that really a long-standing thing with Upton? I know it was certainly the case last year. I don't know. Like, I feel like Jay Bruce certainly has that reputation.
I think Upton deserves it.
You do?
Yeah.
I didn't notice it so much with the Diamondbacks.
So would you trade Justin Upton for – would you trade Ryan Braun for Justin Upton?
Well, no, but I wouldn't trade Ryan Braun for Carlos Gomez either.
You'd rather have
Ryan Braun.
So make the trade. All right.
Speaking theoretically, Adam.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
How about
you, Al? Yeah, I wouldn't trade Braun for either.
Okay. Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Michael Kadire is on the DL with a hamstring injury. So, Charlie Blackman homered yesterday, Al.
How about Corey Dickerson? Because
sorry, Corey Dickerson. That's what I meant.
Yeah, it's all right.
Blackman did homer yesterday.
Yes, he did. Walt Weiss gets some confused too, Adam. So it's okay. But yeah, no, it's Corey Dickerson time.
He's got platoon though.
Yeah, but so is Blackman may at times.
Yeah. Blackman, whew. 3 home runs in 2 games for Blackman. I don't know how much longer they can keep up that platoon charade.
It's pretty good stuff so far. James Paxton won't be back until late May at the earliest with his strained lat. Clayton Kershaw expected to begin a rehab assignment Friday. Brad Miller batted ninth and went 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts. Worryometer on Brad Miller tends a drop.
it's a 6 for me. I'm not close to dropping, but this is not the Brad Miller I bargained for. This is more like Sergio Millar. Lots of his Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
His alter ego.
Yeah. Like, is that
way over my
player?
Head.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but we've talked about it before.
I forgot, Al.
I was going to say 5. I'm a little concerned too, just because the strikeouts are so, so not what I expected. And I said yesterday, I mean, I feel like we can got to give it 6 weeks before we pass final judgment on anybody. So I'm not going to on him either. But every day when I look at the Mariners box score, the first thing I look at is, did Brad Miller strike out today? And it's usually yes.
Well, now you have to scan your eyes further down the box score to see that.
Nah. Yeah. I don't worry so much about that. I think we make too much of lineup position.
Not if he bats ninth.
Well, I mean, if it's a long-term thing, but if he heats up, he'll be back.
Look, I'd rather him bat ninth than sit against lefties, you know?
That's true. But, I mean, we're seeing it with Leonis Martin, who's not scoring any runs.
Right, but I think that's, again, that's probably a long-term situation for Martin.
Sure, I agree. Like, they want Brad Miller to bat higher. It's a slump.
Yeah. Managers change their lineups so often these days. It's
Well, Gene Segura batted seventh.
Nobody has a fixed spot.
Some people do.
No, pretty much nobody.
What?
I look at every week, I review the lineups for every team.
The three and four hitters stay mostly the same, though.
And if they move, it's one or two spots.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take it literally, sure.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
But I'm being literal.
I'm taking it too literally.
I'm being literal.
Yes. Okay, we'll settle it with that. Gene Segura batted seventh yesterday. Worryometer on Gene Segura.
I'd say also about a six. I would be nowhere close to dropping him. But as I mentioned on the podcast yesterday, yeah, he may not even meet my somewhat already diminished expectations.
I am saying four because I still think he's safe for batting average and speed. And I think that's going to set him apart even from like Elvis Andrews. Even if he doesn't quite live up to my expectations completely. I mean, the track record for those two contributions, looking back at the minors and everything else, is just too reliable.
Carlos Gonzalez was in the lineup yesterday. Should we trade him now? He has knee tendonitis.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, then.
But by the way, I think it was Scott, you said you wait at least three more weeks for a final judgment. I think in 3 weeks we should have a segment called Final Judgment.
Okay.
Final Judgment.
Where we just judge.
And even
people.
That, like 6 weeks, I mean, look at Victor Martinez. I was dropping him in all my leagues after 6 weeks last year, and he needed about 12 weeks to start playing like Victor Martinez.
So we'll call
was
it,
coming yeah. off injury, but
we'll call still. It the first Final Judgment.
Yeah.
There. So.
Yeah, you know that doesn't work, right?
Yeah, it's our show, Al.
Always hedging our bets.
Ian Desmond hit his fourth home run but committed his eighth and ninth errors. What the heck?
Yeah, not doing anything other than hitting four home runs.
Yeah, I mean, are you guys worried about him losing playing time?
Again, not an imminent thing, but if this continues, then I think it's a real possibility.
I was watching
commitment to him, though. I mean, what are they going to stick him in the outfield? What are they going to do with him?
They bench him.
Bench him like they did with Espinoza.
Yeah, but Espinoza. Desmond's Desmond. They're committed to him.
We're at the end of May, and he's still doing this.
How long are they committed to him?
They lost the game yesterday.
He's Ian Desmond. He's given us 2 months of crap.
They bench Ian Desmond.
They pulled Bryce Harper in the middle of a game.
That was one game.
I'm not saying they bench him permanently, but.
Why are we worried?
If it was one or two games, I wouldn't worry about it. But I'd worry that if we're still here a month from now, that he's in danger of losing significant
playing time. He's a detriment
to
the team right now.
Yeah.
With the way he's playing.
I mean, Dan Uggla has, what, six errors?
Dan Uggla lost his job at the end of the year. That's exactly my point.
Yeah,
that
but
is exactly
hitting.
My point.
He wasn't hitting.
He's and neither was Ian Desmond. He's doing nothing but getting four home runs over 3 weeks.
Ian Desmond's going to hit. This is stupid. Let's move on.
It's not stupid.
It
He's
is
got nine errors.
Dumb.
You've got a new manager.
It is positively stupid. Let's
it's
move
not
on.
Why? Stupid, Scott.
Why is it stupid? Because Ian Desmond's the Nationals' best player. They're not going to bench their best player.
He's their best
player.
He's their best player.
He's better than
Bryce Harper.
Is
not their
he's
best
better
player.
Than Ryan Zimmerman.
Right
he's better
now,
than Steven
Strasburg. So far in his career, he's been better than Bryce Harper, yes.
So far this season, Bryce Harper, who's, what, 21, 22, has been better than Ian Desmond. Ian Desmond is great.
Harper hasn't done anything this season.
Yeah, he has.
No,
he's
he
pretty
hasn't.
Good.
Just last week, we were talking about how Hayward had outscored him.
Well, Hayward's got a bunch of steals, which are
and he's also hitting
boosting
150.
People's values. who do you think has more fantasy points? Well, Desmond might because of the four home runs. But Bryce Harper is their best player, and I don't think anybody's going to dispute that. But I love Ian Desmond. I drafted him in like four leagues. But I think it's worth bringing up. He's got nine errors. If you can't just gloss over that. All right.
I mean, is he going to get 54 errors? Are we honestly thinking that?
No, but he has like a 30 homers. Yeah. He has a 30
errors. It's not that uncommon for a shortstop to get 30 errors.
If he's getting 30 errors and giving you nothing but the occasional home run, he's doing you
but
more harm than
good. But
who
really thinks that's going to happen?
I think it could.
I'm not
going to bet on it, but I'm saying all I've said is that if we're still here a month from now, because I didn't think Dan Uglow was going to get to the point that he got with the Braves last year.
Right.
To think that it is impossible.
Dan Uglow was coming off a season when he hit 200 last year. I mean, it's a completely different scenario.
Well, I didn't see that coming. I was shocked when Dan Uglow got benched for Elliot freaking Johnson. If that could happen with all the depth that they have with Zach Walters and Espinoza, this could happen too.
All right. Shin-Soo Choo left with an ankle injury. They're calling him day to day. D. Gordon sat against a lefty. He did come in as a pinch hitter, and Scott Van Slyke started against the lefty, Cliff Lee. So Andre Ethier sat. Matt Harrison's going to rejoin the Texas rotation Friday. Top what pitcher, Matt Harrison?
80.
Okay. San Francisco batted three Brandons back to back to back. No word yet on if that's ever happened before, other than San Francisco.
There's so many Brandons out there. I feel like it could happen again.
Belt. Hicks, Crawford, and Cameron Maybin could be back soon. So there's an outfielder for you. Let's go to the breakout alert. Well, I trashed Michael Brantley on our video show last week, but I feel I picked him up yesterday in our podcast league. I dropped Mark Teixeira for him. I'm doing it just in case he's having an age 27 breakout, which I think he's 27. Age something like 27 breakout. He's got four home runs since April 13th. Brantley has never slugged above 402, but he's batting 282 with four home runs and 18 runs batted in. So you look at him last year, he had, I guess, a career season, which wasn't that great. But maybe I don't remember what it was, 10 home runs, 17 steals. Maybe that turns into, I don't know, 15 and 25 or something like that, and then you might have a good player. Maybe I undersold Michael Brantley and was an idiot. What do you guys think? Is he on breakout alert?
Yeah, he is, and I like your logic. It's not that it's a in the bag that this is going to be another step forward for Brantley, but you know, given the age that he's at, given that he's never really lived up to the promise he showed as a minor leaguer, I see the possibility there for a breakout, and it's you know, worth a flyer.
Scott, what do you think?
Well, I mean, because he doesn't strike out much at all, he's never even had an 80 strikeout season, and he has more walks than strikeouts right now. If he can get to being a 15-homer guy, I mean, he's basically Martin Prado without the versatility, but I think most people, even in the outfield, would be starting Martin Prado if that was the only position he played.
Yeah, I really thought he was more of a five-outfielder league guy but instead of three, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the thing about that is, like, what his skill set is most geared toward is the points format, which is usually the three outfielder league format. So he might be just as viable in both formats because of that.
Nolan Arenado, I think we mentioned him yesterday. 12-game hitting streak, he homered again. He batted second yesterday for the Rockies. Is he on breakout alert?
In my mental rankings, I've already put Arenado there.
Yeah, you said that yesterday, I think. Good stuff. Scott?
I mean, I'm not sold. I was going through my rankings yesterday. Should I move him ahead of Mike Moustakas? Should I move him ahead of who else did I have there?
Let's see.
And my answer was no.
Brett Lurie, Chase Headley, Sandoval.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really done anything to make me think it's different from last year yet. And I don't know. I liked Moustakas more in the beginning. We'll give it a little while longer.
One walk, 13 strikeouts for Arenado. That's not good. But three homers, five doubles. Travis Wood, is he breaking out? You know, he had a 3.11 ERA last year. Not a lot of strikeouts. But right now, he's striking out over a batter per inning, and he has a 2.52 ERA.
I'm beginning to think, and look, I like Travis Wood. I've said that before. But one thing I didn't get to bring up yesterday when I was talking about picking him up for the two-start week is that this first start was against Arizona, and Arizona is starting to have the look of one of those matchups where you can, you know, knowing a pitcher's facing them legitimately increases his value because they are just inept right now. And even their good hitters, not so much Goldschmidt, but, you know, like Trumbo,
Prado's been bad.
Prado's been bad, but he doesn't really fit what I was going to say. I was thinking high strikeout guys.
Oh, okay.
So that helped. That probably contributed to this performance for Wood. I don't think the strikeouts are going to continue for him, but I'm becoming more assured that he really is as good as he showed last year.
Yeah, I underrated the matchup for sure. I still think he could get clobbered at Milwaukee. So I'm going to stop short of saying that, I should have been higher on him as a recommendation for this week. But yeah, I definitely overlooked the potential in that matchup.
Here's a cool stat. I'll double check it. Milwaukee, off the top of my head, I think they're 6-4 at home and 9-1 on the road. So that's just kind of weird right there. And Ryan Braun's done like all of his damage on the road, I believe. Milwaukee is, 6-4 at home, 9-1 on the road. Garrett Richards, could he be breaking out? He's got pretty similar numbers to Travis Wood and walked 4 yesterday, but only gave up a run with 6 strikeouts and 6 innings at Washington. All right, tell you what, let's lump these last 3 together. Last 4. Travis Wood, Garrett Richards, Willie Peralta, and Henry Mejia, all impressed yesterday. And I watched Willie Peralta.
I'm going to guess you want us to rank these guys.
I do, but first I want to know, well, I just want to apologize for Willie Peralta. To Willie Peralta for not drafting you. I'm sorry, Willie. I should have listened to my teammate and drafted you.
Who was your teammate?
Jamie Eisenberg. Oh. Just, let's draft Peralta. I'm like, no, he sucks. And I feel
get Jamie on the podcast.
What did you get instead?
I feel so stupid. I don't remember. Probably Hector Santiago. Travis Wood, Garrett Richards, Willie Peralta, Henry Mejia. Who could break out and be totally awesome?
I think both Mejia and Peralta.
Mejia does have an innings limit, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. That's a good point. So if you're talking about overall production, then no, Mejia is not going to break out because it's like it's a really, really strict innings limit. I would say like 100, 110.
Right.
Really low. So I still really like the potential of what he could do on a per-game basis. But yeah, Peralta, I think, could be awesome all season long.
What was the question?
Who could break out? Travis Wood, Garrett Richards, Willie Peralta, Henry Mejia, most likely.
Well, Wood already did. I think Peralta has the best chance. I think he has the highest upside. I don't know. Mejia and Richards, their control issues both kind of have me backing away from them a little.
Okay. Let's talk about the Rockin' Rockies, other than Nolan Arenado, who we already talked about. They hit a lot of home runs yesterday. Charlie Blackmon hit 2, Willian Rosario hit 1, and Corey Dickerson doubled, homered, and stole base. I think we've actually covered all of this since we talked about Dickerson and Blackmon and don't really need to say much about Rosario.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on the Rockin' Rockies?
I mean, I had Blackmon as the sit among outfielders and the start sit for hitters because the Rockies had 3 lefties, and this wasn't one of them. But he's already made his week, basically, 2 home runs, and that's 3 in his last 2 games. And, you know, it looked like he had this 3-game span where his batting average fell from like 500 to 410, and it looked like he was starting to lose it. And then he comes back with this. So, yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously not going to have Blackmon as a sit on next week's hitting planner, no matter how the rest of the week goes. I think it's becoming a situation where even with the platoon, like, you just can't afford to sit him, I don't think, until he really, you know, has this stinker of a week. And even then, it would have to be a combination of that and Weiss continuing to stick with sitting him against lefties.
Do you guys think this is legit for Charlie Blackmon, or do you think he's just hot?
I still don't. Obviously, I at this point, I have to be open to the possibility that he's capable of way more than I thought he was. But we'll wait till final judgment, part 1.
Okay. You mean the first final judgment?
Yes.
All right, those are the Rockin' Rockies. Here are the pathetic Padres. Will Venable, 0-3. He's batting .224 with no home runs and no steals. Last year he had 22 steals and 22 home runs. Chase Headley, 0-3 with 3 strikeouts to drop to .180 on the season with 4 walks, 17 strikeouts. Jed Jerko, 1-4 to improve to .152 with a .240 on base and a .242 slugging. And Yonder Alonso, 2-4 with a double to improve his batting average to .221 with a .250 on base, .294 slugging percentage, no home runs. And Yonder Alonso has yet to slug .400 with San Diego. So we got Venable, Headley, Jerko, and Alonso. What say you about the pathetic Padres?
I think these guys, aside from Alonso, and Alonso will improve somewhat, but not to the point where I'm looking to pick him up outside of NL only. The other three, I think, will come around still. Venable, Headley, Jerko. It's almost like the flip side of the Marlins, where I feel like there's so many guys overperforming on that team. And it's just, this is what can happen over, we haven't reached a month, but this can happen for a month or more.
They are the worst lineup in baseball right now in terms of run scores. What do you think, Scott? How many of these guys bounce back?
Well, Jerko, I think we've talked about it before. He showed as a rookie last year a tendency to be extremely streaky. He went all of April last year without a home run, and he still managed to hit 23, and that was missing a big chunk in the middle of the year with injury. So, not really worried about him. Venable. I'm kind of hemming and hawing on Venable because, I mean, he broke through as this 2020 guy last year, which I didn't think he'd ever achieve, and now he's off to this kind of start. I'm not looking to drop him in a roto league because I think the potential for him to help in those categories is too great, but I'm not as confident in a bounce back for him.
When they get Carlos Quentin and Cameron Maybe back, is Venable a bench platoon player?
Could be.
Okay.
Possible. Yeah, some moving parts there. I think Seth Smith is probably the biggest loser, to quote a TV show.
Let's do some Approve the Move. Tomorrow's Grade the Trade. So this is Approve the Move. We like rhymes. All you have to do is give it a pass-fail, though. Changing Gears on Twitter says, I added Tyler Thornburg and I dropped Tommy Hunter in a head-to-head points league.
Changing Gears needs to put that move in reverse.
Yeah, I don't get that. Why would Tyler Thornburg have any value in a head-to-head points league?
If K-Rod was bad, then he would.
Yeah.
But he's not, so he doesn't.
K-Rod Thornburg, just pitched his fourth straight game.
Thornburg has a lot of points right now. I think there's some wins factoring in there and some multiple inning stints and just a guy sorting by points scored and picking up the highest point scorer, I feel like.
Yeah. Tommy Hunter held on for dear life with the save yesterday.
Yeah.
Kevin says, 10-team Roto League, I would drop Billy Hamilton to get Jason Hayward.
I approve that. Even in a Roto League, I wish you had somebody worse to drop. I'm kind of skeptical you don't, but if that's the move, I approve it. I'm still skeptical.
Prove it.
I approve it with the same caveat that Scott has.
So I brought this up yesterday in our video show. I wonder what you guys think. I feel like Billy Hamilton might have more value in points leagues than Roto. Because, he's amazing. I don't know if you saw the first inning. Gets hit by a pitch. I think he was going. He was running, trying to steal second. There was a comebacker to the mound. Liriano fields and throws to first. And on the throw, Billy Hamilton gets the third. And then they bring the infield in. And there's a ground ball to third base. Billy Hamilton goes, and he's safe at home. So I just feel like if he hits .240, he's going to be a monster. Because he's going to score almost every time he gets on base, it seems. Not quite that much. He's going to steal a lot of bases. And I know he's going to help with those two categories in Roto.
Right.
But I think he's going to kill you in Roto in home runs and RBI. Whereas in points leagues, I've been guilty of undervaluing steals guys in points leagues.
You can, but I just feel like his skill set is so, well, I guess this is kind of the point you're making, that is so lopsided. My expectations for the stolen bases and maybe the runs are so great that I feel like it's going to more than neutralize the black hole you'll get from him in RBI and home runs.
I think you can buy low on Billy Hamilton in a points league and not necessarily in a roto league. That might just be my perception. What do you think?
No, that's probably true. And I get your overall point. I know there was some interesting talk early in the year that the problem with owning Billy Hamilton in a roto league is that you depend on him to be your entire source of stolen bases. So I think we're to the point in roto leagues with how you constructed your team that you can't really there's not really a way you can position yourself to trade him unless you're punting on steals, which I never recommend. So it would be hard to trade him in those leagues.
As long as I feel, do you guys feel like there's very, very little chance that he gets sent back down or gets benched or anything because he hits so poorly?
Yeah, it's not a zero chance, but it's a small chance.
Yeah, I think the best is yet to come. So,
you want to buy low on him
in
our podcast league?
You own him?
Maybe a little deal involving Ryan Braun?
Absolutely. Braun for Braun and someone for Gomez and Billy Hamilton. I'll do it, but not Stanton. Hands off.
Probably not going to do it then.
Joseph. Oh, come on. Joseph says, I add Gregory Polanco, I drop Will Venable.
Shallower league, sure. Let's see. 12 team. Yeah, I think I'm giving Venable more of a chance in a 12 team league still.
Yeah, me too. So, okay. So what about this deal?
All right.
I have Chris Davis.
Yeah.
I pair Chris Davis with Hamilton for Braun and Abreu.
Oh, man. That's a good one. Jose Abreu and Ryan Braun for Chris Davis and Billy Hamilton. I'm thinking more Ryan Braun and Michael Brantley for Billy Hamilton. And
I'm thinking no.
Chris Davis. All right, I'll think about that one.
Yeah.
I think there's a bigger drop-off from Braun to Billy Hamilton than Abreu to, than there is an upgrade to Breyer to Davis, but I'll think about it.
Yeah, but you get Braun off your...
I would like that.
Out of your hair.
So Tyler says, drop James Paxton, pick up Asashi Iwakuma.
I would do that.
Yeah, I approve the move.
Yeah.
Paul Vanderheiden, add a $5 footlong from Subway and drop R.A. Dickey.
No, I need the Fritos on that sub.
So if you get the combo, you'd think about it?
No, you don't. They have an actual sub with Fritos on it.
Oh, really?
You haven't heard about this? No. They have a song and everything.
But come
Fritos on my sub.
No, I've never not heard of that.
You don't watch enough TV.
I do. This is why I'm so shocked. I thought I'd seen all the Subway commercials.
Crunch a muncha. No, I'm keeping Ari Dickey.
All right.
Stashing him.
Stash
him. I'm keeping him.
Corey Masura says, I added Cody Allen. I dropped Chris Perez. I need holds. And I have both Jansen and Axford.
Why not?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Allen's got a better chance for saves, too.
Right. Allen's more likely to overtake Axford. And I think he's just better than Perez.
This is an interesting one. I don't think you can do it right now, but maybe you can. Fun with Benny B. Drop Pineda. Add Clay Buchholz.
I don't think you can do it right now either. I have great concerns about Buchholz, and nothing he's done this year has alleviated them. Still throwing softer than he did at the beginning of last season when he was pitching so well. Not sure that's going to turn around.
I would be opposed to picking up Buchholz, but not for Pineda. And given that it's not for Pineda, yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to do it.
Right.
Unless I have some bad concern to be Deadwood.
And Steve Carpenter adds Johnny Peralta, or Willie Peralta. That makes more sense. Drops Rick Porcello.
Approved.
Yeah, I approve too.
Okay, three up, two down, rotation, fringy starting pitchers, and we'll save some time for emails. Let's do this in 10 minutes. Three up, Dustin Pedroia. Doubled twice, walked yesterday. He's 9 for 25 with 5 doubles since his injury scare. Are we cool with Dustin Pedroia?
We cool.
Not scared.
All right, Ryan Howard, 75% owned, 2 for 5 with a home run yesterday at the Dodgers. He's batting .271. 363 on base, 543 slugging, 5 homers, 12 RBI for Ryan Howard. and he has now hit two home runs off a lefty.
All right. Ryan Howard.
For Jose Abreu?
No. No. But I am encouraged by this, and here's why. It's been a couple of years since we've seen a healthy Ryan Howard. Obviously, the Achilles thing in the playoffs 3 years ago, and then the delayed start to the season. Last year, I think a lot of people forget this, came back, you know, had more than a year to recover from the Achilles surgery, had an awesome spring. I think a lot of people were thinking bounce back. He got off to a great start, Howard did. 282 with six home runs in his first 117 at-bats. On May 19th, he sat for the first time with a sore knee. Soreness they couldn't really explain, but that had him in and out of the lineup for the next several months as his numbers were dropping. Finally, they discovered he had a torn meniscus, had season-ending surgery. Now, off to a great start again. No lingering knee issue. I don't know. I mean, six home runs and 117 at-bats last year. That's a 30 to 35 homer pace over a full season. That's basically Ryan Howard. I think he's somebody who you could buy low on, but not in the traditional way. You buy low on him with the other person thinking he's selling high, but he's not really, because Howard might be legitimately this good.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. Where I was trying to think about where I should put him in my rankings. I still think I'd have him behind like Corey Hart, who isn't universally owned or anything, but I said he was the most underowned player in fantasy on the show yesterday, Fantasy Baseball Today. It's kind of a similar situation for both. I think their 30 homer potential is a lot higher than people are giving it credit for right now.
So would you put him behind Lucas Duda and Ike Davis?
I would put him ahead of Lucas Duda and Ike Davis.
Okay.
Al? Definitely ahead of Davis. I got to think about this. I mean, it's an interesting. Maybe ahead of Duda. I'm pretty sure I don't have him there now.
Duda sat yesterday, by the way, for Josh Satin.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, lefty.
I know. I'm just saying.
Tyler Lyons. Garrett Jones homered last night. He's 21% owned, and he's got three home runs. That's cool. By the way, he entered the night, Garrett Jones. He plays for the Marlins now. Slugging .435 on the road and .408 against righties. And .304 at home and .200 against lefties. So if he's facing a bunch of righties on the road, you might get a good week out of Garrett Jones. Do you think he's under-owned or over-owned or just right?
Just right, Goldilocks.
21%. All right, two down. Eric Hosmer. Are you guys worried about him? He has not hit a home run. He has four doubles.
A little. I mean, it kind of helps that we've seen this before from him, and we were blaming the old hitting coach, who's now gone,
and
things turned around when they when they hired Pedro Grifol. I feel like if this is... Since it's happened before, they'll know to be patient with him, and if there's anything wrong with him mechanically, they know how to fix it. I still think he's as talented as he showed the last 4 months last year, and you wouldn't want to sell him short now.
Pablo Sandoval, Al, batting .162. He's 0-for-4 yesterday, and 90% owned. Would you drop him for Nolan Arenado?
Yeah,
that's stupid. They're both 2-owned. Do you prefer Arenado or Sandoval?
I prefer Arenado, and if it were a league, probably a shallow one, where that was a real dilemma, yeah, I'd go Arenado.
And Scott has Arenado behind Pablo Sandoval, but do you guys think Sandoval bounces back?
Yeah, he's not this bad. Unless he's hurt.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see like MVP caliber Sandoval. I don't know that we'll ever see that guy again, but he could hit for respectable batting average with 20-plus homers if he stays on the field.
All right, rotation time. Anibal Sanchez, six and a third, three runs. First time he's thrown more than five innings all year. Clay Buchholz has been terrible. He did give up a lot of singles yesterday, mostly singles, but he's got a 7.71 ERA. And in Buchholz's previous two starts combined, 12 innings, 13 hits, only four earned runs, two walks, 12 strikeouts against two good lineups. So two terrible starts, two good ones. Cliff Lee, eight innings, shutout, four hits, no walks, 10 strikeouts. He's awesome. Julio Teheran finally struck some guys out. He struck out 8 Marlins, but only has 21 strikeouts in 35 innings. And Francisco Liriano, I thought he deserved a better fate. Bullpen gave up a couple of runs in the 8th inning. I don't know that. Well, whatever. Liriano's off to a weird start, 0-3 with a 4.22 ERA, strikeout per inning, 12 walks. Who do you want to spotlight here?
I want to spotlight Liriano because I think he's a buy-low candidate right now. Obviously, the win-loss record helps bury him in the points leagues, or even Roto, I guess, when you go to the sortable stats page. And the ERA's kind of high, too, but the WHIP, 1.25, is basically what it was last year. And I think he's the same pitcher he was last year. We're just the way the games have unfolded for him, we're in this position now where the person who owns him probably doesn't view him as like what he drafted him to be, so you can get him for cheap.
Al, who do you want to talk about, if anyone?
Nobody. Pointing out Teheran, it was kind of a shaky beginning of that game, gave up the Jones home run early, but really settled in, so I think there's no worries there.
And fringy starting pitchers, give me your three favorites. Zach McAllister, Dan Straley, Travis Wood, Garrett Richards, Willie Peralta, Henry Mejia, Mike Leake, and John Danks.
Mejia, Peralta, Straley.
I go Straley, Wood, Peralta.
In deep leagues, Wei-Yin Chen was okay. We pretty much know who he is. Tanner Roark was good against the Angels. 6 2/3 scoreless. Tom Kohler has a 2.13 ERA. Jorge De La Rosa has a 6.38 ERA, but he was okay yesterday against the Giants. Tyler Lyons struck out 7 Mets, gave up 2 runs on 6 hits and 4 walks in 6 innings. And Dallas Keuchel is tearing it up right now. 2-1 with a 3.38 ERA. And his last 3 starts, he has 19 strikeouts and 4 walks in 19 innings. Anybody kind of a sleeper here? Chen, Roar, Kohler, De La Rosa, Lyons, and Keuchel.
Scott knows, because I talked about this before the show. To me, Keuchel, still mispronounce that on occasion. Keuchel, to me, is a major sleeper because he's a guy that I just have written off since the get-go. But good control in the minors, kind of overlooked a strikeout bump last season, and so far looks like a consolidation year for him, a.k.a. breakout.
Okay.
So he is my new favorite Astros pitcher, for whatever that gets you.
I know we, and Baseball Reference was down this morning, so I tried to make do with inferior sites in my research. I know Keuchel had stretches like this last year. He would strike out 8 guys, strike out 9 guys, and we were like, what's going on with this? This guy didn't strike out anybody in the minors. I'm a little skeptical. I would still value somebody like Kohler over him. And Kohler, I don't really see as a mixed league guy either. But anytime you get a guy striking out a batter per inning start after start, it's something to pay attention to.
And he's throwing his curveball, I think, about 4 miles an hour harder than in the past. And that's where he's getting some swings and misses. So, interesting.
And no love for Roark?
No. I just already love Tanner Roark.
My love's waning a bit on Roark because it was a good start, but it was still a good start, 1.5 whip. And I feel like all his good starts so far this season, there's some glaring flaw that keeps me from like being glad I started him, basically.
Right.
I think this obviously helps secure his job, this start he had, but I don't know. I'm getting skeptical about how useful he's going to be in mixed leagues.
And in the bullpen, Craig Kimbrell struggled again. He did strike out the side against Miami, though. Kyle Farnsworth got a save. Sean Doolittle allowed a run last night. Ernesto Friere got his second save, but gave up a run. And he's got a terrible ERA. Anything worth mentioning here?
I would say that there is... The only thing I'm going to mention is Kimbrell, because of the way... I mean, he blew the save, and you just look at the box score, like, oh, what's wrong with Kimbrell? Because that last outing was rough, too. He started out wild again, walked the first guy, then I know a guy, the second guy reached because of catcher's interference, so that wasn't even Kimbrell's fault. And then...
he didn't have to throw the pitch so deep into the strike zone.
And then Dietrich came off the bench and hit a double after Kimbrel was wild with him. But for them, from that point forward, Kimbrel struck out the side, and there was guys on second and third with nobody out. Kimbrel struck out the side and got out of the inning with the tie still intact. So he seemed to find himself again in the middle of that appearance, and I think he'll be fine going forward.
All right, quick injuries, news, and notes, part two. Wandy Rodriguez is on the DL with a knee injury. Scott Feldman's going to go on the DL with right biceps tendonitis, and Colin McHugh is going to start tonight against Seattle for Houston. Alejandro Deaza walked and stole a base yesterday. He did bat eighth with Jordan Danks batting ninth, and Adam Eaton – or no, Danks I think was batting first, actually. I don't know why I wrote ninth. Maybe he was batting ninth. Whatever.
I think you're right about leadoff.
Yeah, makes more sense. And Adam Eaton was out, and Scott White pissed me off this morning because he – got Alejandro Deaza.
Oh, you bid too, huh?
Yeah, I bid.
We both
and
lost.
I wanted to bid more. Well, how much did you bid? 14-team, 30-man roster categories league.
I think I only went two on him.
I went six. I would have gone 10. Scott bid nine. And
nine.
Got
him,
but Nando and Herc reined me in, and they didn't want to bid that much, so they said five or six.
But like, I put bids on both guys. Put a bid on Danks and got him. But he was the consolation prize.
So hard to find five starting caliber worthy outfielders in that league.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like there aren't going to be that many guys available in those deeper leagues that you need to save your fab money for.
Mm-hmm.
So splurge, people. Russell Martin's been batting second for Pittsburgh, and the Travis Snyder fund appears over. And that's who I was dropping for Deaza. So the Mets called up Bobby Abreu. Does that matter?
To us older folks, yes.
Josh Sadden started.
A little nostalgia.
Give you some.
And Ian Stewart started at third base for the Angels, and he batted cleanup. That is a pretty lousy lineup.
Yeah.
After he gets past Trout.
It is. You know, Roark was another two-star pitcher I considered, in part because I saw that matchup against the Angels and thought, that's a pretty good matchup.
Let's do some emails real quick here. Sam A. in North Hollywood says, what do you think about this trade that's been proposed to me in a 10-team points league? I give up Miguel Cabrera, I get Adam Wainwright, and Yu Darvish. I'm tempted to say yes because the scoring favors pitching stats, especially strikeouts.
I think that's one of the rare trades involving Miguel Cabrera where I'd consider the other side.
I was thinking exactly that. I would do it.
Yeah,
I think I would too. And exactly what Scott said. Boy, a rare case where I'd even consider it.
I don't think I would. I mean, Miguel Cabrera, I'm still confident he's going to be the best or second best player in fantasy, and it's a 10-team league. The shallower the league, the more you need to overpay for the highest upside players, and you don't get higher upside than Cabrera. I know those are two legit aces, and he says the format favors that, but I'm still inclined to say no.
Logan in Knoxville says, I have Salvador Perez. I was expecting a 315-80 season, but now I'm starting to think that's not his range.
Yeah.
Should we expect him to have consistent numbers from last year, or should we expect him to be around the Darno, Montero, Castro range?
No, if anything.
Right idea in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I still kind of think improvement from last year. Let's not get bogged down in early season stuff.
Mike from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. My team has been suffering through very slow starts. 10-team, 10-by-10, head-to-head keeper league. Would you cut Granderson, Jerko, Aoki, or Desmond Jennings for any of the following available players? Could cut Granderson, Jerko, Aoki, or Desmond Jennings for Morneau, Colabello, Dozier, Ozuna, Neil Walker, or Devin Mesoraco?
I would cut Aoki because I would certainly want one of them. I think I'm going down between Dozier and Morneau here. I think I'd go Dozier.
Cut Aoki
Dozier stands out to me as the most valuable, and I'd cut Aoki for him too. I think the way Jerko's going, it because it's a head-to-head league, I know it's a categories league, so that favors Jerko, but because it's head-to-head and you want some consistency, Dozier would be a guy to slot over Jerko until Jerko gets hot.
He can start Dozier over Aaron Hill if he wants to, too.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I just now looked at who he's actually still got. But you can flip one of the two. Wait for Hill to get hot.
And let's finish with a grade the trade from Mike in Oregon. He says, hey, Francisco, Edinson, and AJ, can you grade the trade? I'll get Carlos Gomez for Bryce Harper and Corey Kluber in a 7x7 categories league.
No way. Oh, grade it. I'm sorry. D minus.
I'll go C minus. I actually, I think it's closer between Gomez and Harper in categories than some people might think.
I like the reference here. You just kind of skidded right over it.
What?
Searage reclamation projects.
Oh, well, I just thought they were all Pirates pitchers, but then I remember A.J. Burnett's a Philly. All right, well.
That was a great laugh.
Yeah, wasn't it? By the way, I do like Carlos Gomez, but I'd still prefer the best player on the Nationals, Bryce Harper, to him.
Listen, what was Ian Desmond's war last year? Let's look it up.
Oh, last year he was obviously better than Bryce Harper.
Well,
but
that's
before,
all I'm saying.
But before Bryce Harper got hurt last year,
I didn't say he was
the best player in baseball.
No. Wow. I didn't say
he was. No, before he got hurt, are you kidding?
The best player in baseball?
Before he got hurt last year, he was out of control.
Yeah.
Before he ran into the wall.
It wasn't enough time to prove anything.
All right, who do you think the best player of the Nationals is?
I think if we're just going on historical data.
No. Who do you think the best player on the Nationals is?
Well, the most talented is probably Bryce Harper. He's their best asset. He has the most upside. I don't disagree with that. But
that's
I think Desmond, based on what they know for sure.
Best career?
Is their best player.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe Gio Gonzalez.
Or some guy named Strasburg.
Or Strasburg.
Yeah, I guess I was sticking to hitters.
Okay. Thanks, guys. This has been a fun show. We'll have the video show at noon Eastern. We'll see you next.